Welcome to the Titletown Times, where we bring you everything you need to know from 1265 Lombardi Avenue. My name is Nicholas Fargo, and with me is my co-host, Robert Martin.
What's going on, Packer Nation?
What is going on, Packer Nation? It is a bittersweet week this week. On the bright side, more Packers football, but on the downside, we're coming off of a loss.
Yeah, it was a tough go against the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, got to give them credit. They made the plays when they had to, made a couple more plays than we did. Questionable calls in the field a little bit with the stripes, but at the end of the day, you got to tip your hat to the Eagles. They got it done.
Correct. And I think that they're a much better team than their record indicated. I mean, Doug Peterson is a coach that recently won a Super Bowl, and Carson Wentz was a quarterback who, before his injury in 2017, was in that MVP discussion.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's any shame in losing to a team of this caliber. Both teams put it out on the field. I mean, you want to come away with the W, but it's time to move on.
Yes, and although we lost, I did see some positives. I did see Aaron Rodgers start to be himself again, you know?
Yeah, he did, and he had a lot of help from our number one, Davante Adams. Went off for 10 catches and 180 yards. Didn't find the end zone, but that's just a boatload of receptions and yards compared to what he was getting. Jimmy Graham also stepped up and played a little bit better. 6 catches for 61 yards and touchdowns. So there were some bright spots.
Yes, but unfortunately, I kind of have to nullify what Jimmy Graham did when he, in the back of the end zone, tried grabbing that football with just one hand. You got to go up with two hands there, Jimmy.
Absolutely. I can't believe that. That ball was catchable, and the better tight ends in the league, they make that play.
Exactly. One thing we got to say about Davante Adams, he does have turf toe. They did say it's not serious, but he will not be playing this Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys, and that's going to be brutal.
Yeah, you got that right. And I've never really known a turf toe not to be serious. They seem to linger. You know, when you think about a receiver and the explosion needed and the push off and different things, and Devontae's game is his feet. An explosion. So I hope it's not serious. That's what they say, but turf toes are scary.
Yes, but I noticed that our run defense against Philadelphia and against the last two teams that we played before Philly, it was kind of lacking, and I think that had to do mainly with the absence of Montrevious Adams.
I agree. Montrevious Adams is definitely a run stuffer, and we need him on the field. It seems to me like we got a young, hungry team, but with that young component of our defense, we like to fly around a little bit. I think we lose our gap assignments at times.
Yeah, I agree. And the Smith brothers were saying this week that they are focusing on the run because they kind of have to when they're going up against someone like Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game plan is going to be very obvious from the very get-go. I mean, Dallas is going to want to control the ball with their run game. They're going to want to run it right down Green Bay's throat. They're going to look at the last, 3 weeks and see how teams have done that. It's up to Green Bay to make those changes and make Prescott beat them through the air. If it turns out to be a passing game against Aaron Rodgers versus Dak Prescott, give me Aaron Rodgers times 10.
Yeah, exactly. Even without Davante Adams, because we've seen other players in this wide receiver core make plays. I know a lot of people don't know their names, but we've heard Aaron praise them. We've heard the Packers insiders praise them. Honestly, it's time to make believers out of the NFL world right now.
And what an opportunity they have. I mean, when you take the number one receiver off the field, you know, you think automatically that would be a horrible thing. And for the most part, it is. However, when you put a bunch of guys out there that are hungry looking to make a name for themselves, there's going to be balls out there for them. So it's time to step up. They always say next man up, and truly that's a situation.
Exactly. Again, there's not much to say about this Eagles game. While there were negatives, specifically on the defense, you saw a lot of positives from the offense. Yes, a lot of people will say that Aaron shouldn't have thrown that ball to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but that was a catchable ball. He should have held on to it. Touchdown right there, even though Darius Shepherd was open.
Yeah, it's really easy to play armchair quarterback. In fact, I do it often. You sit back and you watch Aaron Rodgers go back. If he waits even a half a second longer, he's going to see Darius Shepherd come wide open. It's kind of a quarterback's tendency, I feel, to go towards the more known commodity, if you will. And MVS was the guy playing on the field. So no question as to where he was going to go with the football. I just wish he maybe would have given Darius a shot in the on the outside because he was wide open.
Right. And heck, even give it to Geronimo Allison. He's kind of a known commodity to amongst Packer fans.
Yes, he is. That's for sure. And starting to come around a little bit. He's been very quiet initially in maybe the first couple games, but I'm slowly starting to gain a little confidence in his playmaking again, and he's going to be needed on Sunday.
He is, very sorely. And he had a quote this week saying that he's had some of his best moments in Dallas.
This is true. He's had some great moments in Dallas, as has Aaron Rodgers. So, you know,
very true.
Yeah, the Packers have won 7 out of the last 8 against Dallas. I don't know if people realize that. You know, you go all the way back to the early 90s when the Packers were kind of breaking through, and it seemed like Dallas was that kryptonite. They just couldn't they just couldn't deal with Dallas. And but the tides have turned. Green Bay's kind of had their number for a while, so let's just hope that they have one more in them on Sunday.
I agree completely. Basically, the key to this game against Dallas is stopping the run and forcing Dak Prescott to throw, like we had discussed earlier. There is a question about Kevin King being out. He has been ruled out. So who do we stick on Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb, who is unfortunately a Cowboy now?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about that, and I actually think they might even bring Tremont Williams and put him on the outside. You know, Tremont Williams, a grizzled veteran. He's got plenty of experience playing both in the – he's played a little safety. You know, we have to also remember that Tony Brown is out. So we're
yes.
– our depth is definitely going to be questioned here. We're going to be stretched a little bit. You know, is it Kadar Holman's time? That's another guy who shined in camp, and you wonder, is he going to get to break his teeth out here? And if that's the case, I mean, what better place to do it than Dallas against Cal?
No kidding. What a way to get your start. But yeah, I think if it were me, you definitely got to put Tremont on Cobb, because they've obviously played against each other in practice before. So I think that Tremont would know some of Cobb's tendencies.
Yeah, and, you know, Cobb... He's not a quick player he used to be, although I still think he needs to be.
Correct.
Away from the other, and like you said, they've practiced against each other so many times. I like that matchup.
Yeah, and I think you stick Jair on Amari Cooper, who does have a tendency to drop the ball, so we have that advantage for us. But also one of their injuries that I think is key is Tyron Smith. I don't think he'll be playing on Sunday.
No, dealing with that high ankle sprain when you're 300 plus pounds, those high ankle sprains are just a little bit more meaningful. It's hard to get going.
Yeah, so this means that the Smith brothers could have a big day.
You know, and that's part of it. I think they need to get after Dak in the pass game, make him uncomfortable, get his feet kind of fluttering a little bit. And he's not the most accurate passer when he's not sitting in a nice, well-established pocket. And we've seen that over time. So we can make him make some mistakes out there.
And another addition to our defense that I think is going to be very welcomed is the return of Oren Burks. He can cover those tight ends like Jason Witten and Blake Jarwin.
Yeah, and I think Oren Burks is questionable for the game. I don't know what that exactly means anymore. They changed the designations, of course, a few years ago. It used to mean, you know, 50-50 chance, but I think it's a little better nowadays. So, yeah, if he gets on the field for the first time, that'll be really interesting to see what his role is going to be.
Very true. And he could even cover Zeke if need be.
Oh, absolutely, he can. There's no doubt in my mind. Oren Burks is fast. He goes sideline to sideline. He just needs to stay healthy.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people questioned our ability to produce on offense, though. But if you looked at the Cowboys-Saints game, the Saints really did not have to do much. They didn't even have to score any touchdowns.
No, that was a well-played game for the Saints' part. I thought their defense flew around and really just kind of kept Dallas at bay with everything they're trying to get done. So I hope we can take that as a blueprint and see if we can't do the same.
And it's interesting because going into that game, the Saints were allowing, on average, 134 rushing yards per game. And if they were able to hold Zeke to 35, then I like Green Bay's chances.
Yeah, again, I think it's going to come down to, I think our best plan going in is, again, having to run the football. If we can get our offensive linemen off the ball quickly to engage in the front line, then get to that second level, because what we can allow is their linebacking core, which is, in my mind, maybe the best in the league. You got Van Der Esch, and you also have Jalen Smith, and they're just
and deep. Sean Lee.
And Sean Lee, of course. So, I mean, you've got all three of those guys that are just playing lights out football right now. If we can't get to the second level with our blockers, we're gonna be in trouble
for sure. And one thing I just want to emphasize is I hope that we've learned that Jimmy Graham is just not a blocker.
You gotta
put Mercedes Lewis in on those downs.
I wonder if we can't get Matt LaFleur's direct email or something, because we need to let him know this. We've talked about it, I think, for the last few podcasts now, and it just keeps happening. He's not efficient blocking at all, and it's a detriment to the offense. We just have to stop. We've got that guy. Why don't we use him?
Mercedes Lewis is
that guy.
In order for us to win this game, we have to stay in front of the sticks. We got to stay in front of the line of scrimmage, because if we go backwards, we just lose momentum. I've noticed that.
Yeah, you know what? Second and third long in this game, it'll spell doomsday for us. I'm just going to be quite frank about it. I think that if we can even a 3-yard gain on a run is going to be a win. If we can stay third and four, third and threes, we got a real chance to win this football game. You talk about third and eight, third and ten. We're in serious trouble. If they can pin their ears back and just come after us and not worry about the run at all, if Aaron Rodgers has to throw like he did against the Eagles, I don't like it.
Yeah, but keep in mind, Aaron Jones kind of had a breakout game versus Dallas when we last played him.
This is true. And, you know, if you believe in that sort of thing, you'd say he's probably due as well. So Aaron Jones, I don't necessarily know is the problem. I think right now it seems to me like our offensive line, when I've watched them, it's hard for them to make that combo block. And I'm not sure what the issue is exactly, you know, who it seems to be different guys in different plays. So it's hard to pinpoint any one person. But on a combo block, you have to seal that guy initially, and then you have to get to the second level and make a play. Linebackers against the Packers are playing downhill.
Right. And it's also kind of concerning because our running back that's more of a ground and pound back in Jamal Williams will not be playing. And honestly, going back to that Philly game, I don't understand how you don't eject Derek Barnett for that.
No, you know, as long as we're going to talk about the Philly game, I totally agree. That was a malicious, let's just call it what it was. It was a dirty hit. It, plain and simple, it was dirty. Jamal Williams was actually all the way wrapped up. His momentum was done going forward. In fact, I would say that he was already starting to go backwards. The whistles had blown. I mean, you name it. For someone there like that and just spear him straight to the head, I mean, they're trying to take away a ton of hits. I can't imagine that that isn't one of them.
Correct. And honestly, just like what set me off the most is I know that he was kneeling and everything like that, like acting like he was sorry. But the thing is just like he knew what he was doing, it seemed like. So I don't know. Like, I guess it kind of made me even more mad that he was acting remorseful.
Yeah, you know, a play like that is just so blatant, and you have to know what you're doing in that spot. It wasn't like a bang-bang play. He had every chance to see the situation. He saw Jamal Williams' momentum stop. If he says he didn't hear the whistle, I suppose I could buy that for a little bit, but I also think that he saw the play was basically over. So for him to go in there, if he'd have gone in there looking to strip the ball with his hands and arms and things, that's one thing, or wanting to punch the ball out or something, but to go in there flying and using your head like a missile, I mean, that's like Andrew Sendejo, same thing. Took out one of his own players, actually. They're, you know, I just felt like the Eagles were doing a lot of headhunting out there.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, he's a punk ass. I don't like him. Plain and simple.
Correct. We didn't like him when he was the head coach in Detroit either.
No. And, you know, I do want to bring this. I'm not as sour grapes, but, you know, there was a couple times where I felt that the pass interferences that are getting replayed, either I don't know what's happening in the league right now, but it's almost like the referees have gotten together and just and come up with this mantra of, we're not overturning these calls. It's almost like they're bitter over the fact that these can be reviewed. I just get this sense that there's some ego-driven thing, because if you can't get it right after a replay, I question a lot of things. There was a play up the sidelines where MBS was hit in the face before the ball arrived, and you know, with replay, you have that ability to slow that thing down frame by frame. And if that's not defensive pass interference, I guess I don't know what is.
Exactly. And I think LaFleur brought that up too.
He did. He says, you know, we no longer even know what pass interference is. And then, you know, on the goal line, again, completely wrapped up MBS, the ball goes off his chest, bounces up in the air for a game-winning interception. Now, I know that these plays are fast. I know things are moving, you know, again, 100 miles an hour, and I think the refs do a good job, frankly, of getting most of them right. I think it's amazing at how much they get right in a game. And I'm not even saying that this is what losses the game. We made many – we didn't make a lot of plays out there throughout the course of the game that cost us the victory. But if you're going to replay PIs, I just think that get them right.
Exactly. And I think that they do need to be held accountable. I know that the NFL officiating Twitter said that it wasn't like an egregious, not enough egregious evidence to overturn that non-PI call. So I really question who's running that Twitter account, first of all. And I really question I think that the NFL needs to take the lead of most of the other major sports leagues and have full-time refs. Because these refs are part-time.
Yeah, they're part-time. And, you know, and I also think that either you have the human element in the game as far as officiating and we replay all together, or we have to understand that, you know what, the end goal is just to simply get it right. So, I mean, if that means officials need to swallow some pride or whatever, I don't know what it means, but if you can sit there and look at an instant replay and see things just frame by frame and you still can't get the call right, I just question why you're a ref to begin with.
Yeah, I agree. And I know a lot of Philly fans are going to say that we're just bitter about the loss, and honestly, I think they'd be right. But that's neither here nor there. They'll say that there were some bad calls that went against them too, and I'm not saying that there weren't, but those calls didn't affect them as much as it affected us.
No, and it's true. And I mean, I can look at the Minnesota Viking game, for example. I mean, they had that touchdown reversed when was it Dalvin Cook, I believe, was blocking beyond the you know, in the end zone or whatever, and it, you know, that helped us. But again, did I think he was blocking in the end zone? I do think he was. But my point is, if they just want this to be a human game, then just get rid of it. Otherwise, get the thing right. I mean, pro Packers or anti against the Packers, I don't care. I just want the calls right, or just put the human element in. Not what's going on now, because it's actually doing a really bad. It's putting a bad taste in a lot of fans' mouths with the NFL.
I agree completely, and I know that this is the first year that this has been introduced, but you've had all season to demonstrate what pass interference is and what it isn't. Obviously, I'm sure that they've looked at replays and determined like some of these missed calls. So
yeah, and you know that the league has the policy where teams send in plays, you know, every single week for the league to review and whatnot. What comes of that? Nothing. They get a letter that says, "Oh, we missed that one. Our bad." Well, when you're talking about a win or a loss, it's a big deal, much bigger than a fake apology coming from the NFL.
Right. So going to this Dallas game, again, it's in hostile territory, but there's been some very good victories for the Packers in the stadium. A lot of people are considering it Aaron Rodgers' like second home stadium. He won a Super Bowl there. He's won crucial playoff game there. He had a clutch performance in 2017 there. So that's another element that I like about this team. And a lot of people will say Dallas is 3-1 and they should be respected. But honestly, the three teams that they beat, I'm just not impressed by. They beat the Giants with Eli Manning. They beat the Dolphins, and they struggled with the Dolphins in the first half. And then they beat Washington. Like, am I supposed to be impressed by that?
Yeah, the Cowboys surely have had a different road in this first quarter than the Packers have. You look at the Packers team that they've played and the defenses that they've played, and for them to come out with a new system at 3-1, I'm more than happy with that. The Cowboys, I mean, they're a formidable opponent. There's no question. I don't think we're going to walk into Dallas and just roll them. I just don't see it happening. But is it a winnable game? It is a winnable game. I think things have to go our way. But nonetheless, that's why they play the game.
Exactly. And I think that we can win this game. And I'm going to give a prediction of this game being, I'm going to say 21-17.
You got the Packers in this one?
Yes.
Okay. I'm probably going to make some enemies today. I'm pulling with the.
Sorry, I didn't quite pick up on that.
20. Probably going to. God, it's going to.
It is going to be awfully tough, but I think given Aaron Rodgers' history against the Cowboys, he knows how Jason Garrett's offense works. He knows that Cowboys defense. And I think that he can get it done. He was effective in 2015, even without Jordy Nelson and when Devontae Adams had the dropsies. And I think he can get it done with this ragtag of young and hungry receivers.
You're right. They've got young and hungry receivers. And I do think the Packers have a chance, like I stated before. This is just a prediction. You know, if the Packers can run the football, and if they can get to that play-action game where it actually means something, I would change my prediction in a hurry. I just don't necessarily believe that the running game gets going this week. I just feel like Bulaga's still hurting. I feel like Corey Linsley's, I don't know what's wrong, but I don't really think Corey Linsley has played Corey Linsley-like, if you will. He's not impressed me so far. But I hope I'm wrong. Again, I hope we can get the running game going, and I hope our play-action pass game works, because it's going to have to.
Right. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in. I'm sorry this episode was a little late. I was grinding the tape trying to figure out what was going on with that Eagles game, and we'll try to make our recap episode for this game a lot sooner than what we did.
All right. You have a good night, Packer Nation.
Guys, have a good weekend. Go Pack, go, and let's beat these Cowboys.
Absolutely.
Go Pack.